Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. And hello to everyone that's watching. All right, so this sermon's title is called The Kingdom of Heaven. And it's something that always thought in my mind of what does that mean, the kingdom of heven? And when it talks about nations, and when we want to find out about a particular nation, I know, for instance, Ukraine is in the news right now, and a lot of people are probably wondering, where is it located? Whenever we want to know about a nation, we can just go online, right? Search online, find out information about it, so the general standard information. You can find a little more detailed videos online to find out more about that nation. You can talk to someone that's from there, gives you a little more insight, or even you can visit, travel to a particular nation you want to know about, and travel around that nation to know about it and a little bit more. But when it comes to God's kingdom, which is in heaven, we kind of limited on where we can go to find out about it. Sure, people have wrote about it. They've taken from the scripture and kind of wrote their, you can say their thesis or their sermons about that. You can find a little more information about God's kingdom, but we are a bit kind of limited of what is there. I have personally tons of questions that I want to ask about the Lord, but I'm sure most of it is like, just see and you'll understand about his kingdom, about his government, how it runs, how it functions, what's there, you know, what do the angels do in their time off? Do they get a time off? I have so many questions, but I know one day we will get to those answers. God does gives us a few little glimpses here and there about heaven, right? We have Job chapter 1, gives us a little bit of understanding that God doesn't just do things because he's God. He has a governing body, you can say, and he has angels coming, mighty angels coming from various different parts of the universe, gathering together to this intergalactic meeting, so to say. We have a book of Revelation that mentions about God, and he has the four living creatures. He has the 24 elders in Revelation 4 and 5, and you start unpacking and realizing, okay, there's more to this in God's kingdom, but there's more. Like I there's so many questions that I have, but we got to keep in mind that God has a purpose on how he delivers a certain message, on what he tells us and what he holds back. It's not that he's hiding things from us as he's, you know, he's trying to keep certain secrets from us, but he wants us to maintain a certain focus because there's so much information that God has given us that he doesn't want to overwhelm us with the information that's there, but wants us to keep us focused on what we need to be doing. And there's already a lot that he has given us that keeps us, you can say, very well distracted, you can say, and keeps us studying about God's word for a very long time, even though it seems like, well, definitely there's a lot more that we can learn. So we guys keep in mind that God has given us a message about his kingdom when he speaks about this kingdom of heaven. Which by God saying kingdom of heaven is to help us not to be confused with the kingdoms that have existed and are existing now in this earth. We have to remember the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream that had all these different metals representing the different kingdoms that would exist ruling in this world. But we remember that there's a kingdom that will come from heaven that will destroy all these kingdoms. And it will be established here on earth and it will be reigning for eternity. So we begin this message today with today's scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 7. Jesus says, "As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So first off, God is already letting us know that we are to go. He's already saying, as you go, because the command has already been given to go and to preach the gospel to the world. So as you're going, what are we to be preaching? He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Meaning we are to proclaim the gospel, but let us also let us know that that kingdom is reachable. It's attainable. It's for everyone. It's not something that's only for exclusive for a certain group of people. Sorry, you're not part of the angels, so you're not able to become part of God's kingdom. No, God's kingdom is available for everyone and is reachable. And God wants us to let the rest of the world know that the opportunity is there for them as well. The gospel is not just for us. It is for everyone. God is the creator of all, not just a selective group of people. So what is the message from God about this kingdom that we are to focus and to share to the world? Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. There it tells us there are many parables about the kingdom of God. The first one is in Matthew chapter 13 and beginning in verse 24. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened. Meaning now he's going to make a comparison to help us understand about the kingdom of heaven. He said, this kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and he brought forth fruit, then appeareth the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. So it's kind of strange to use this example to explain about a kingdom. What about a farmer planting seeds has anything to do with a kingdom? Well, it has a lot to do, especially with God's kingdom. Well, what is that telling us here? There's this farmer, this man that wants to grow wheat. And he wants these, but to grow them, he has to plant these seeds. But unfortunately, the enemy is there to plant these tares. So we gotta keep in mind that first of all, this man is planting, he is first planting the seed to grow wheat, for it to bear fruit, for it to be, it has its purpose, it has its usefulness on why he is planting this wheat. It is not just so it could look nice in his yard, it has a purpose in mind. But the enemy then comes and plants tares. What is the usefulness of tares? Does anybody know? What's the purpose of tares? The only purpose I can think of is becomes a nuisance to the farmer, right? And the farmer tells his servants not to get rid of the tares, but wait until the harvest time. From then we'll separate the two. We'll burn the tares because we don't need them. If anything, they're good for fuel. Can turn that into fuel. Can find a way to do that. And the wheat then will be separated, and then it'll have its functions, the uses that the farmer has for it. So what does this have to do with it? So Christ ends up explaining to them, in verse 37, he explains them a little more in detail. He says in verse 37 that he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed of the children of the kingdom, but the tares of the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out his kingdom all things that are offended in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fires. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So in a brief sense, we have been told that the kingdom of God had to do with salvation. God's kingdom, his main focus is our salvation. His focus is not, oh, let's figure out, you know, the plans that maybe a certain world from far away area has some kind of plan. They want to expand their territory or whatever. No, all of the universe is focused on our salvation. Here, God is letting us know that he is the one planting that good seed upon this world. He is the one that wants to share with the world who he is, his character, his law. He wants to let the world know he is the creator, the universe. He wants the world to let them know that there is a better way to live our lives and not the way the world has. But unfortunately, the devil has come in after that and tainted that truth, has provided so many different varieties of views that have provided confusion in people's minds, that what is really then truth? Everybody seems to believe that what they believe is truth, then what is it there for? But what God is letting us know, that his kingdom, the focus of God's kingdom, is our salvation. And he also let us know what's going to happen at the end of the day. We're reaching to the point of the harvest. God will separate the wheat from the tare. Even in our church, I mean, I don't know who, but there are tares among us. God willing, none of us are, but there are tares among in our church. But there will come a time where God will separate. God will be the one that will make that separation. Unfortunately, those who will be tares, God, or those who grew in their spiritual walk, not walking closer to God, but away from the Lord. The wheat are those that end up growing, but closer to the Lord. God will bundle them together, you can say, and take them home, while the others still be taken to the furnace of fire. But he goes further. There's another parable in verse 44. It says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So we're seeing that what he's letting us know, that this kingdom of God is precious, is invaluable. There's no price to it. We can think that it is not something that can be, it's not something that I'm saving up for. It's something you have to give everything you have in order to get it. So we can think of those who lived in the throughout the ages, of those who have been neglected of the truth. Excuse me. Those who have been neglected of the truth, and when the truth is spoken, when they hear the truth, they will be willing to risk everything, even their lives, and give everything they have for it. Think of those who were living in the dark ages. They were neglected to know the truth. And when God had sent his people, the Waldensians and others, to share the truth, people ate it up like if it was the most precious thing ever, like the most delicious food they could ever have eaten. And they hold on to it, risking their lives. When the fall of the USSR, back in the late 1980s, when the truth was finally able to be preached there, many people were flooding the auditoriums to hear the gospel message. I remember Pastor Mark Finley has a great testimony to share about that, because our church was unprepared when that happened. When the USSR fell, sure, we sent our messengers, we sent preachers to go there, but we didn't have enough materials. You know, we had nothing in Russian or in other languages that we can send there so that people may have access to it. It took a few years before we were able to have enough to send there. But Pastor Mark Finley has a great testimony that he was sent there, and he thought, okay, you're going to hear one argument, then you're going to hear another argument, then he'll go and speak about the gospel. When he went there, no, they wanted to hear him. He had generals and top officials who were there who, all their lives, all they've known is about evolution and atheism. And here comes Mark Finley to preach to them a gospel message, and they were all listening, hearing what he had to say, and many hearts were turned. China, for quite some time, they opened up the opportunity for the gospel to be preached there. And millions have accepted. But what's the problem now? The government is now going after Christians, taking down their churches, taking down their publication houses. But people are still hungry for the gospel message. They're willing to risk everything for that. In India, it's the same. Christianity is a very small religion, and yet people will be willing to risk even their connection with friends and family, their reputation, in order to receive the gospel message. It is happening all over the world. And to think that God's kingdom is focused on our salvation, regardless of where we are, regardless of our background, that's the whole focus of God's kingdom. And it should be the only thing, really, that matters even in our lives. The gospel message, the kingdom of God, when we share that with others, it frees not only ourselves, but others who accept it. It brings blessing upon the believers. Their future is secure, and their hearts are filled with hope and joy. God has not called us to go out and convince people and force people to do things. He has called us to go and share the gospel in our lives, in our words, in our actions, in our deeds. But why are we so occupied? What's holding us back? Is it the things of this world? Why are we so worried and concerned? We hear of prices of things going up. Gas prices are astronomically high. I was talking to my sister last night. Around the place where she lives, the gas is $4.65 a gallon. We went by Augusta, and I think the lowest I saw was $3.98, if I'm not mistaken. But it's quite high, and has impacted even the flow of people going shopping. I mean, this is our busy season, at least where I work, and we don't have that many people coming to the store. And when you look in the parking lot, not many people are showing up. And it's, part of it has to do with the gas price. And now they're thinking, maybe I shouldn't go today. I'll save up and gather everything I need tomorrow and the next, or once a week instead of a couple of times a week. It has an impact. We see the prices of the things going up. People are concerned and are worried. But should we be that concerned and worried as the world is about these things? Are we putting aside the kingdom of God because this needs to focus, keep my focus and attention? The shooting going on throughout the world, not just what happened in California and in Texas. The shooting going on everywhere. There's been an increase in shootings in schools. There's been an increase in shootings in the streets. We heard what happened here in Aiken not too long ago, that there was a shooting. It's happening everywhere. But should that be my main concern in my life? I need to find something to stop all these shootings going on. We hear wars and rumors of wars. We hear the issues of climate change. We hear problems going on everywhere in every aspect, from politics to education to finance. It is everywhere. Should that be my main focus? It shouldn't be. I know it's easy to say it's not. My focus is God. But do our actions speak that way? Are we concerned about these things happening? About what, buying food or buying clothes? Revelation 13, it reminds us that soon this world will be forced to receive a mark on the head on the hand. On their forehead or on their hand. And it's kind of forcing people to believe and follow this worldly ideology. And those who don't receive it won't be able to what? Buy or sell. So already there should be a preparation in our mind, kind of like I mentioned about in the Sabbath school lesson for the video. Jacob was thinking more of the future. And what he was doing today prepared him for that future. His brother Esau was not. He was only concerned the here and the now. We should be concerned more about our future and what we do now. I should be planning in preparation for that. Not for the mark of the beast, but for what God tells us in Revelation 14, that there will be a people that won't receive the mark, but will stand for the kingdom of God and receive his seal. They weren't focused about what can I do to avoid the mark. They were focusing upon God's kingdom, and by default, they avoided the mark of the beast. So how are they able to stand against the world and stand for God during that time where there is intense persecution, that the death penalty will be placed there if you do not follow that Sunday law? Because their faith was strengthened beginning today. Beginning now where things, especially in this country, things seem fine and comfortable, even though we do hear and there are problems going on. Christ tells us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So if you go there, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, God tells us something that I think is quite interesting. Because it's like speaking to us now. I mention it to a couple of people at work who are concerned and are worried. And I give them some tips, because some of them who are concerned because their money is not going far enough, things are going up in price, and our wages have not increased at all. One thing is, I tell them, don't buy so much food every single day. Make your own food. Buy in bulk, create your food that lasts 2-3 days and saves you money in the long run. So little tips here and there can go a long way. Instead of buying sodas in the soda machine, bring water. Bring a bottle of water. There's water in different areas in the store that they can acquire to. They don't have to pay anything for that. So little things like that. But when we read here Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 25, it's like God speaking to us nowadays. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." He's not saying ignore what's going on in your life. And that's not what I'm saying either. But we shouldn't make it such a focus that I'm worrying about all these things going on. God is saying, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? So God is already letting us know that there is a huge value in our lives, that He is concerned about. The whole kingdom of heaven is concerned about us. And God is telling us, why are you worried? And what I'm saying, and as a reminder now for us today, is that we need to put into practice, even in small things, that there are times we don't know what we're going to eat. We may have the refrigerator full, our cabinets in the kitchen may be full with food, and we still may be asking, what are we going to eat for dinner? What are we going to eat for breakfast? Right? But if we put into practice even those small things in asking the Lord, Lord, what am I to prepare today? What am I to have for lunch? What am I to prepare for the next few days? Or, you know, we might be having potluck next week. Why should I prepare for potluck next week? If we start incorporating God in these small things, our faith will expand and will strengthen. And we'll start incorporating Him more and more. And when things may be struggling in our personal life, it's like, oh, it's just another thing for me to ask the Lord. Lord, help me to deal with this situation. Amen. Not like Jacob, where he thought about it in his own way and how to solve it, but by trusting upon God, like Isaac and Rebekah did early on, when they realized, wait a second, we're supposed to have children in order for our descendants to become a mighty nation, but we don't have a child. Rachel is barren. They went and inquired of the Lord for help. They should have kept doing that. Fortunately, they didn't. But we need to keep doing that in our lives, and that will strengthen our faith and get us on the path to receive that seal of God. Continuing in the verse, so, you know, why are we concerned about these different things? God says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? God is letting us know, if I take care of them, you are more valuable than they are. I will take care of you. It says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. You know, Solomon was a very wealthy man. You know, to have that many wives and concubines, you had to be wealthy. But he had incredible access to all sorts of fine fabric. I'm sure he could wear whatever he wanted any time of day. And God is willing to supply what we need better and make us look better than Solomon ever could. So it says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, now my wife and I, we've been focusing a lot more on our garden, and it really got me a lot thinking, you know, garden, in terms of nature, nature is very forgiving, because I'm still learning. I'm very, I'm still trying to adapt to this country lifestyle. But I see that even though I may make mistakes when I'm doing things in the garden or outside in nature, nature is very forgiving. It's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, I'll restore. You know, there was a certain area we gave to our chickens to kind of spread out, but for safety, we kind of reduced their space. But that area they had, all that grass was gone. It was like a desert. And in just, a few months, the grass is growing back. You know, that's great. You know, I kind of missed the opportunity to kind of flatten the ground a little bit better. But the earth is, the ground is so forgiven. We can make mistakes, learn from it, and improve upon that. But the other thing is how things don't really last. You know, you plant vegetables, you plant fruit trees, time for the harvest, you get the fruits and vegetables, and that's it. It's gone. Some of it you have to restart all over again for the next season. Others you just have to kind of, prune and kind of shorten it down for the next season, but that's it. It's over. Once the harvest is done, it's over. But God is letting us know, you know, things in this world just come and go. Don't worry about it. God will provide and take care of you as we are more important than those things are. So he says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, we can hear that in social media, people talking so much about fashion, makeup and clothing and all these gadgets and everything. It's just overwhelming. It's like all their focus upon that. It's like, don't you realize all these things going on in this world? But it seems that all they're worried about is material things, even food. There's videos where it's just people eating, and they get lots of viewers, people just eating. It's strange. But that's what the world seeks. But God tells us is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He is not saying don't plan for the future. He's saying don't worry about tomorrow. So many things we need to worry about today or be doing today that tomorrow will take care of itself when we get there. So brethren, we may have concerns today, worries and fears, but let's build a habit to go to God in prayer and fasting. Let's ask him for help and as well for instruction, studying his word so we not fall into this deception and our faith will be strengthened. And brethren, seek the first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know we have concerns and worries, but a lot of times when people ask questions about all things of life, you know, as a Christian, we know that the answer is in the scriptures. The answer is in Jesus Christ. But help us, Lord, that we are to share this gospel message to the world, preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lead us and guide us that regardless of the concerns and worries we may have, help us to put first you in our lives, and that you will help us and guide us to navigate in this crazy world we're living in, and help us to face our fears, our worries, our concerns, and find solutions and answers to them, and be able to share this with others as well. The world is confused, but you have showed clarity for us that we are to share with others around us. It is not the blind leading the blind, but it's those that you have made able to see are leading those who are blind to the light, to be able to see as well. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Sabbath morning you bless us with and tuning to have to worship and to praise you together, and guide us in the rest of this day that we can enjoy this fellowship and our time with you and our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.